Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now,
check this out.
It's Crunch Time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey, how it goes? Thank you for taking the time to join us, our little radio program here in Eugene. 95.3 The Score, KUJZ Radio, Crunch Time for an hour, sports talk for two. And you, should you have something on your mind you would like to share or discuss, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline for all of your diesel needs since 1974, online, OregonFuelInjection.com. 284-8571. Text us, 321-0824. On Twitter, a social media platform going into its 11th year of existence, at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for the show. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. Lot to get to, obviously, since I was absent yesterday. And Nick did a championship caliber job in flying solo and hosting the programs. Do a little rewind for sure, and I'm guessing you could understand the topic, which hit about an hour before I signed on Sunday with our Oregon men's pregame show. And then more details became available. And that was a rough half hour. Fortunately, I had the pre-recorded interview with UCLA's play-by-play man, Josh Lewin, because we learned the names of the remaining victims. When we signed on Sunday, we were told that the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant included four others, a pilot and three unnamed victims. And about halfway through the show, our producer, Bethany, you could see she was struck by something. And so that's when you learned it was his daughter and a teammate and a friend. And then as that awful day moved on, we learned that John Altobelli, whose son played here as a shortstop, JJ from 2010 to 2012, baseball coach at Orange Coast College. He perished along with his wife, Carrie, his daughter, Alyssa, Christina Mauser, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Ara Zubayan. And, I don't have to tell you the shockwave that this has sent. And we will address Kobe Bryant at many levels today because I, obviously followed his career. Being from Philadelphia, spent some time in Philadelphia over the years. Have talked to people about he is a high school guy, his daddy Joe, Kobe living from the time he was six to, I guess, about 13 in Italy, being kind of a international superstar. And I generally, it's either Sunday night or Monday night, I subscribe to the Sunday edition of the Register Guard, and I eventually read a lot of it. I know, especially for younger people, it's like, so you sit down and read a paper? Yeah. And First thing I do is I read the comics. Just kind of old school for me. Always kind of takes me back to a happier, simpler time. Maybe not happier. Kind of delighted these days. And there's a section called Picks. And it might be focused on retail. For example, there was something called Don't Sweat It, a natural deodorant called Native, something called Hydrate in Style, a clean canteen insulated classic, Carryall, a good design for luggage, a story on Doris Burke, courtside. And then at the bottom, and just the eerie coincidence of yesterday, it says, find the four books this NBA legend is reading right now. And it sends you, remember, this was Sunday's paper, so no way to know, obviously. Go to parade.com/Kobe Bryant. And I didn't get a chance to read the paper until I was in bed last night. And I looked at that and I was like, whoa. So, yeah, it's Super Bowl week. It was a really good weekend for Oregon basketball. The women get their first victory in a decade at Corvallis. Really a devastating weekend for the OSU women as they try and keep pace. You know, Sabrina and that team playing with a heavy heart. But, you know, Oregon State, a team who many felt would contend and challenge the Ducks, Stanford, and UCLA, they're already four games behind the Bruins, Stanford, and Ducks. I haven't checked how if UCLA and Stanford have played, because Oregon beat Stanford. So via tiebreaker, the worst Oregon is tied with UCLA. They're obviously have an edge on Stanford, with Arizona and Arizona State at 5-3, and Oregon State now sixth place at 4-4 in league. I mean, the hopes were that they can finish high in the standings and maybe get cited in Portland like Oregon did last year. This past weekend, plus the loss to Stanford, I mean, they're in a deep hole, because now, obviously, they're going to have Oregon lose five conference games to finish ahead of them in league. As for the men, off of that thrilling double overtime, will it ever end victory on Thursday, a game that that even had the head coach pleased on Sunday. It was kind of quick and painless. The problem with UCLA under Mick Cronin, like we discussed with Jeff Lewin, they are transitioning from the primarily offense-minded recruiting and roster of Steve Alford, and moving to, you know, his more Big East, Midwest style of defense, spread the wealth around offensively. And, you know, they gave up 48 points in the first half, and it was pretty much all over but the shouting. Oregon kept the heat on, and despite some defensive lapses in the second half leading to 49 Bruin points, they matched it with 48 and win it going away. The word is out on Chris Duarte, and with he and Peyton Pritchard, that is a pretty lethal 1-2 punch. Welcome back to the major contribution column for Will Richardson, who 16 points. Justin, nice contribution as well. Addison Patterson. Anthony Mathis, who we talked about on Thursday, it would be nice if he could find his three-point shooting stroke, because he is a really good three-point shooter, but had been 6 of 30 in conference overall, hit 20% of his shot since the start of Pac-12 play, hit 40% from downtown, couple of free throws, and added 8 points. And by the way, both the men and women now hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. The number three Ducks will head to Utah and play the Mountain Schools, while the men off the sweep of the SoCal Schools, they go to the Bay Area, and it's a good Stanford team. And historically, that has always been a little on the bumpy side. Thursday, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame down in Berkeley. Then a 3 o'clock start on Saturday. So back to the more traditional Thursday, Saturday. And they're not back home, because then it's rivalry week where they play Oregon State. So they're not back in Eugene until 2 weeks from Thursday, when the Mountain Schools come here. By the way, from the lighter side, Packer Pat, and I'm just going to say this because if I have to explain it, you won't get the humor. So I get a letter in the mail, and I open it, and on the front of a 1991 Fleer baseball card that says, Athletics DH, Steve, best wishes, your friend Harold, number three. And it's a picture of Harold Baines with the A's. So I know we got a really good chuckle out of that. So very well played there. And the Astros hiring Dusty Heartbreak Baker. This guy, as a manager, has had some really good teams, really good years. He's won a bunch of games. He's a regular in the playoffs. It always ends in abject misery for the franchise, the players, and the fans. And I'll elaborate on that. What else did we need to get to as well? Oh, Antonio Brown, who over the weekend was placed on house arrest, had an ankle monitor placed on him, has now been freed by a judge in Fort Lauderdale. He's awaiting trial on charges. He attacked the driver of that moving truck. So the judge says he's agreed to let him travel freely within the United States instead of wearing an ankle GPS monitor. Apparently, he's got some contractual obligations, but he does have to check in with the court daily. And he still had to surrender his passport, possess no weapons or ammunition, and submit to a mental health evaluation, random drug testing. And we went over the story last week. Just he and his friend. By the way, at a time like that, you need a friend to be rational, not as who's just off the hook, irrational, and as erratic and dangerous as you. And how about this? Miami of Ohio has postponed its next women's and men's basketball games as two students are being investigated for the coronavirus. They were supposed to play tonight at 4 our time. The women were supposed to play the Broncos of Western Michigan. And, jeez, that'll scare you straight, won't it? Miami of Ohio. I mean, it's in the middle of the country. And by the way, I'm all about sarcasm and rolling the dice and trying to make people laugh. But really, that some of the stuff I've seen, it's like, really, you think that's funny? Huh, all right. You're kind of an idiot. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. When something like this happens with Kobe, you always get this element of people who ask, well, and in particular, this is one I saw on our text line. I heard it on a couple of shows, and it surfaced in the past. And it's like, why don't people make this big of a deal when, like, a fireman, a police officer, or a teacher dies? And it's like, well, A, within those respective departments, they really do. They give them a hero send-off. And B, what part of someone pursuing a career in public service? I mean, our brave firefighters and police take an oath to protect us, not seek fame and fortune. You really don't get that? And I remember having a conversation with a guy who was angry over the heartbreak and all the testimonials when Prince died. And it's like, you do realize that these people literally seek fame, fortune, and celebrity. And that nobody is saying the ability to write Purple Rain or do a 360 dunk is more important than putting out a house fire or saving somebody's life if they're having a coronary or, you know, keeping us safe like police officers do. You can keep more than one thought in your head, right? And you do realize that international celebrities and rock stars and athletes, they're known and followed by, like, I don't know. How many people, if you went around the world and said, do you know who Kobe Bryant is? Would I be unreasonable to say 70 million people? Maybe more.
It's a bad time to try and, like, be a gatekeeper on tragedy and trying to figure out, the whataboutism of that argument is, well, what about, why should I care?
You don't have to.
Right.
Nobody's asking you. Nobody's checking with you either.
Yeah, why don't they care about blah, blah, blah when X happens? And it's just, now's really the time you're going to bring that up? Now's the time when you're going to make that argument? Like,
and also, when there's a tragedy, an earthquake or something, you really think people don't care? And by the way, what I would like to do, and by the way, let's get one thing straight. For those of you, run it through your mind. If you've listened to this show regularly, I'll give you a second. I'm not the biggest Kobe guy, but that's irrelevant. And for those who make a statement like that, how many of you could name one police officer or fireman? And it's cold. It's, kind of the harsh facts. But the minute we are all willing when, you know, let's all say there was a notification on the phone and there's a fire on River Road, heading out towards, it doesn't matter. And the minute everybody is willing to plunk down $100 and pay $20 for parking and go watch the firemen work for 3.5 hours, then, excuse me, you'll be able to make that kind of debate. It's not the way the world works. That's why public service is so important and so valuable and so treasured. Because they're not doing it for monetary gain. I mean, sure, if you become a police chief, if you're a fireman in a big city, you can earn a decent living and be stable and own a home and take vacations and raise your kids and put them through college. But the comparison to first of all, when you could walk around to the four corners of the earth and just say, Tiger, Kobe, Michael. Are we getting through here? And yes, like I did, I started the show with the names of all 9 victims. We are aware of that. And Kobe's life wasn't more important, but he's the one who touched the most. And, you know, we'll get to Vail in a little bit, because those who suggested he become the logo, yeah, that's not going to happen either. But the man was on a helicopter with his little girl that spun in and exploded into a hill with seven other people on board. And for everybody saying, well, how could you not? All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Bill. Bill, good afternoon. How you doing?
How are you, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Well, I got a very, very interesting story. So, you know, and when you started talking about the firefighters and the policemen and whatnot, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, was killed in a helicopter accident back in 1994. He was a firefighter. He was a nurse paramedic, and he was a helicopter ski guide for Elko, or Rooney Mountain Health Ski, and he was on the bird that took down Frank Wells, who at the time was the, you know, president and chief operating officer of Disney Company.
Right.
So, well, I mean, just talking about it just gets me a little choked up. But anyway, the funny thing is it was the exact same thing where, you know, thank God they, you know, I mean, Frank Wells was the big Kobe Bryant of the day, you know, as far as the attention. But because of his death, you know, there was a mistake made by the pilot, and I'm sure there was a mistake made by the pilot in this case. So the folks that lost their lives, there, you know, there will be insurance payouts and whatnot. But they did get, you know, some recognition. But boy, you talk about the funeral for my brother-in-law. I mean, you talk about firefighters taking care of their own. Holy smokes!
Right.
It was amazing.
No, it's amazing how people want to tell you how you should feel about something when it's actually irrelevant at that point.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, thanks for sharing, Bill. Have a good one. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And another thing that got me was, why are they talking about this so much on sports radio? You realize Kobe played basketball, and basketball is a sport, right? And it's like, and for some of these people, it's like, so you're saying if you were a writer, if you had a podcast, if you did a sports show like this, sports-oriented, sports only, you would have just glossed over it and not talked about it at all? Well, let me tell you why that's a lie. You never would have got the job. And once you did, if you decided you're only going to talk about things you care about, you'd have got fired in 6 weeks. So just stop. Just absolutely stop. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. That brings us to break time on this Tuesday. We'll do just that, and we'll return with more Crunch Time. 95.3 The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Me growing up, that was my guy, that was my favorite player, and that was somebody I had a chance to reach out to if I wanted to, and you know, and I would text him about things, and he was the type of person that was so, like, accessible. He would write you back, and, you know, that's for me, coming into the league as a rookie, unbelievable, meant the world to me.
That's Kristaps Porzingis on Kobe helping him when he entered the league. Kobe, obviously, a real international guy. His dad, Joe Jellybean Bryant, played many years in Italy. Kobe lived there from when he was about six until he went back to attend high school at Lower Merion, just, I don't know, Merion High, 4 miles, 5 miles outside of Philly, as we welcome you back to Crunch Time. 95.3 The Score, the Tuesday edition of the big program. Yeah, we'll get to some NBA. I know a few of you I've seen on the text line. The hot hand of one Damian Lillard. Oh, right. It's also Super Bowl week. What? I've got nothing. I looked at this Although I was a little groggy yesterday, I started looking at the Super Bowl lineups, and I kept falling asleep. But I don't know what to make of this game. I really don't. There's no reason for me to root against either team. I'm not really in love with either team. But I don't know. I see San Francisco with that defense, ability to make plays and run the ball. Just that's my lean right now, subject to alteration. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Cody. Cody, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I just kind of had an interesting thought because the tone I got when I hopped into the car was that people were getting kind of annoyed hearing about all the Kobe stuff, you know. And if you'd have told me 6 days ago that Kobe was going to pass and I was going to be even a little bit upset at you, I'd have laughed in your face. But it's kind of one of those things that transcends sports a little bit. And, you know, maybe because he was so well-traveled and he always had, you know, outside of the United States, had one of the top-selling jerseys, you know, because he was so well-traveled, that's a little bit of a piece of it, other than the tragedy thing. But it's just, you know, he was a Blazer killer for 2 decades. And now, ironically, Dame has to try and keep this streak going, you know, against the Lakers.
No, I know what you mean.
It's kind of one of those weird things.
No, I understand. It's one of those, if you stop somebody in the heat of the moment when life's just rolling along per normal and you don't account for just the instant tragedy like this, people, I think, realize they don't know how they'll react under those circumstances because you can't know. You can't plan for something like that. And who sits around?
Right, and I hated him. And most Blazer fans do disdain, but there was always that separation, you know. He wasn't a horrible guy, so as soon as I heard, it was gone. And then you see guys like Doc Rivers getting choked up that, you know, he torched most of these coaches, and they just, you know, they were rocked by it. It's kind of, you got to be a robot not to be a little bit touched by that.
No.
And to get on a little bit better of a note, Super Bowl pick, I could care less, but it looks like Kansas City should roll over them. But, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You can't really say that until it's, you know, most of the way over.
Yeah, I
could care less because both my teams are in there right now. You know, thanks to Joe Montana, I'm at that age where he kind of got me into the game, so I could care less. I'd be tickled pink either way.
All right. Thanks a lot. Is it overtime time? Yeah, the Monday after championship Sunday, so the week before last Monday? My math is all off. When Montana tweeted out that picture of both my teams are in, and everybody was like, dude, Super Joe, we love you, but no, nobody's viewing you as a chief. Maybe some 12-year-old who remembers you guiding them to the 93 AFC title before Buffalo kicked your ass, maybe. But otherwise, yeah, that's not happening. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. By the way, what are you doing? We'll tag Crunch Time at about 3:48. Coach Kelly Graves will join us, usually our Monday guest, but we've been off the last two Mondays at 5:10. And for those of you who, I guess, got a subtle hint while I was off yesterday, let's just say if you own a vehicle, as it gets a little older, so to avoid really bad circumstances, you take it in for preventive maintenance. So let's just say as a 59-year-old, that was what I was doing yesterday. And maybe we'll leave it at that. I was thinking, first of all, isn't it for those who in recent weeks, months, years have had to deal with insurance companies and then, you know, somebody in the medical field who seems more interested in what's covered and getting paid rather than making sure you're okay. I was thinking for, like, there should be, we get Sports Jeopardy, Jeopardy. There should be Senior Jeopardy, where you win a free medical procedure. And it's like, you can pick it. It could be, you know, an annual physical. I just, trip to the chiropractor. What are other...
Don't give the producers of game shows the idea that your prize isn't a big vacation to Costa Rica or Mexico or a cruise around the Horn of Africa.
You can take the financial value.
It's that or, you know what, hey, you can get an eye exam on us.
Yeah, an eye
exam.
One
pair of glasses.
Not only that, but maybe LASIKs. You know, you're talking a couple grand. Tell him what he's won. He's won a free colonoscopy. And tell him what he's won, Joey. Well, they're going to take a... never mind. But anyway, yeah.
You won't be able to eat for 24 hours before your procedure.
And the next day...
But it's covered by our medical insurance.
Boy, will you sleep. Well, what'll happen is your medical insurance will promise you anything preventative is covered. Then they'll find a loophole and you'll be on the hook for $970. All right,
Second place finisher gets one contact.
You get a throat lozenge. All right. So when it comes down to it, by the way, some of you out there, our healthcare system, 1, 2, 3. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
Well, doggone, the pool thought you were going to do Snip City early. Scissors going, but well, the doc massaged your heart on the way by. Gotta go, boys.
Take it easy. What the hell was that?
That's the best Fred call ever. That's the one. Can we send that in? Can we try and get nominated for an Emmy for that call? That was spectacular. Oh, that was amazing.
That was a drive-by in so many ways. All right. Anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. For those who, what happened over the last 24 hours in reaction to Kobe, a lot of people, you know, there was a talk of, you know, make him the new logo, replacing Jerry West as kind of a tribute. And people are like, no. While Kobe will be remembered by most for his later years and post-playing career, the pictures with he and his kids supporting the WNBA. You heard from Neko Ogumike. Obviously, we saw the pictures and heard some of the commentary in his relationship with Sabrina Ionescu and the Oregon basketball team and this academy, the Mamba Academy, that he started. He is always going to be viewed through at least one eye of skepticism because of what is now going back to almost 17 years ago in Vail. And before, you know, there have been too many people who have jumped to conclusions, good, bad, and indifferent on them. And I've said, well, did you read the transcripts? Did you read the allocution? Do you know what happened? No, all I heard was, no. See, that's when you walk away. You can't talk. You're not allowed in the conversation. So what happened there was awful. Awful. Read up on it if you're not aware, regardless of where you stand, and realize Kobe Bryant ain't being the logo of the NBA. What he would have done, what he was doing, the light he shined on women's basketball, which is kind of ironic when you think, you know, you know what he really has no connection to? Men's college basketball. Remember he was no one and done back then with guys like Garnett, and he and Tracy McGrady in the 90s went straight to the pros, and then you've seen him because he had all girls, and his daughter Gianna, everybody is referring to her as Gigi. I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't know his children's name until this awful, awful thing happened on Sunday. And, you know, I'd seen pictures with he and her and thought it was awesome that he would lend his support even when he was still in the league. And at that time, aside from LeBron, or equal to LeBron, the most influential basketball player active on the planet, and we know one thing for sure, Jordan's never really been what you would call an activist, taking, you know, stands beyond what would likely benefit him. His post-playing career, a little more philanthropy involved, but, you know, he had taken a lot of heat during his playing days for not following along the lines of Jim Brown, of Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson, because, you know, Gatorade and McDonald's and obviously Nike did not hire him to take social stances. And what was his famous quote? You know, Republicans buy sneakers too. But, you know, Kobe deciding to throw his support, and not just with words, but by showing up and being there, developing relationships and starting this kind of an academy to push the women's game. And of course, what we've seen just over the last 60 days, the new collective bargaining agreement under a new commissionership in the WNBA with Kathy Engelbert, where more money, more exposure, just more stability, better foundation, better relationship within the WNBA, within the NBA. And, you know, now ESPN has decided for the first time to, in essence, televise the entirety of the NCAA women's tournament, starting from game one on a national level. It used to be you had to look for it regionally and where was the coverage going to be. Now you just have to click on ESPN.com once the field is set and see who your team is, when they're playing, and which ESPN station is going to carry it. So, you know, these are because of the support of people like he, who is such a high profile guy, you know, all of this good stuff happened, but it doesn't provide a delete button for those who have been bringing up 2003. So, like I said, it's a fine line to bring up this topic, but to ignore it, I also think, lends itself to a sense of dangerous naivete. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What do you say we take a break? And upon our return, because it's a Tuesday and it's the final segment of Crunch Time, we'll hit you with...
What are you doing?
Next, 95.3, The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Chris had a great weekend. You know, six steals and no turnovers, five assists. So really did some better things with the basketball. A lot of good things. Addy gave us some good minutes. Got Anthony a couple good looks and got him going again. We got to keep grinding away and see if we can get better. But other than the defensive intensity of the second half, I thought we played awfully well.
Dana Altman on the continuing emergence of Chris Duarte and the overall performance against UCLA. Heading to the Bay Area, Oregon is the outright leader by a half game over Colorado and USC, a full game over Stanford, with two losses. The next three teams in order are 3-3, Arizona, Arizona State, and Cal. Cal, who did everybody a favor by knocking off Stanford at home. So a week ago, Stanford was unbeaten. Now they're a two-loss conference team. lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Folks, why? Why, you ask? It's that time on a Tuesday. We scan the world of sports and we wonder aloud. It's the question that, in essence, is the core of this segment. And no, for those who think it's Justin Myers, the sports idol, it just sounds like him.
What are you doing?
It's called What Are You Doing? And in a rarity, I lead off.
Yeah, do the thing.
To the answer, one of my faves, Allen Iverson, I ask.
What are you doing?
So, Jesus. The headline of the story reads, Allen Iverson has $500K in jewelry stolen. And you're like, what? That sounds pretty scary. Did the thieves break into his home, hold him at gunpoint, threaten to kill him? Nah, nothing really even close to that. No life and death. Not really a frightening situation. According to the Philadelphia police, AI had a half mil in bling in a backpack yesterday morning at a Philly area hotel. Look, I don't care if you're into jewelry, any luxury most of us could never consider affordable, but the whole, yeah, I better carry it with me and no way anybody steals it, seems a tad on that combination of arrogance and knucklehead. Basically, you're asking for a criminal or person of suspect character to capitalize on what the police call a crime of opportunity. So it's not enough. You can't just be wealthy and when you go out for the night, wear your earrings, necklace, bracelet, rings, and watch, which could be worth, what, 250 grand, and just literally have it on you. Now, I got more. You think this looks cool? Wait till you see what I got up in the hotel room. Oh, did I just hint that somebody should go break in and steal it? Just ridiculous, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Man, a backpack. Just a regular backpack.
And backpack,
I bet it was an expensive backpack, too. To Minnesota Timberwolves broadcaster Dave Benz, I ask.
What are you doing?
Combining words together now is all of the rage. First, there was Brangelina for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Now there's Slofies for slow-motion selfies on iPhones. And once you start to see it, you're not going to be able to unsee it with all of this, I guess, wordplay, if you want to call it that, that's going on. Well, Dave Benz, the broadcaster for the Timberwolves, tried to do this with shot chart. And the word that came out, I think, is the word that you think it is, and I'm not sure if I can or cannot say it, but let me tell you, it wasn't heart. So Denz drops in the middle of a broadcast thinking that he invented this new word, so happy that he had found a way to shorten 2 one-syllable words into 1 one-syllable word. Just so happy about it, knowing that this moment was recorded in television history, and he took shot charts to a whole new level. And then the play-by-play and the analyst started laughing at him, and it was really heartbreaking for Denz. He thought he had something new, and all he could come back with was, I was in the dark on that one. And I'm sure there have been a lot of times that people thought they've created a brand new thing, and they're going to be remembered for it forever, and they're going to be known as an inventor, and then it turns out it's something that's already been around in, like, for forever, and you're not creative and original. But for that to happen on TV with two words with the context behind the words that were dropped into many a person's lexicon from the movie Along Came Polly, it just made it all that much funnier and weird, as I ask.
What are you doing?
To Hall of Fame netminder Eddie Belfour, I ask.
What are you doing?
Known to fans as Eddie the Eagle, highly decorated during his career with the Chicago Blackhawks, where he won the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year, a couple of Vezina Awards as top goalie, was in the pipes when the Dallas Stars won their lone cup in 99, but he's also fought a decades-long battle with the bottle. In 2001, blind drunk when arrested, offered Dallas cops $1 billion to release him. 6 years later with the Panthers, arrested outside a South Florida nightclub and charged with disorderly conduct. And early this morning, arrested at a hotel in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Stop me if you heard this. 1:30 in the morning.
Ah.
Found by cops laying on the floor in the hotel spa room, kicking a door, clutching a curtain rod that had been ripped out of the drywall. Obviously, the dude needs some help. Eddie the Eagle, please get it, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Also a San Jose Shark. Also 1:30, slightly earlier than our normal 2:30 to 3:30.
Yep, but it's getting there.
Okay. Staying in the NHL to the NHL, I ask.
What are you doing?
The All-Star Game was this weekend, to the shock of many an NHL fan, as the NHL does not do the best job promoting its products, and it hired the ultimate 2020 halftime performance of Green Day to play a half indoor concert, half outside concert. It's very strange, but very on brand for Gary Bettman and his marketing team, who should all be fired from a cannon into the sun. Another thing that they did wrong was the MVP vote, because it was entirely on Twitter. Now, an NHL All-Star game, like all other All-Star games, doesn't mean anything, and the MVP award kind of doesn't mean as much either, but it, just to have this vote be on Twitter and to not actually have a name or a poll or anything, just a couple of hashtags, it didn't even include people that were in the final. You could vote for anybody you wanted to, and it didn't make sense. The final was good and interesting of the 3-on-3 hockey. It was close. The Pacific Division goes down by 2 goals. My beloved Tomas Hertl scores the game winner, his 5th goal of the night, and he wasn't MVP. The guy who scored the goal that got the Pacific Division players $1 million to split wasn't among the people that was even nominated for a Twitter poll. Like, I don't even know how any of this works, but you just got it wrong. And it's the NHL, and I should know better by now, but it's so annoying, as I ask.
What are you doing?
To Deion Sanders, I ask.
What are you doing?
He's just an oddball. Yeah, you want to lock down half the field, electrify the crowd, and put the fear of Billy White Shoes Johnson into a punt cover team? He's your guy. Now he's out there chirping he's going to be a Division I head football coach next year. He actually thought he was in the running for the Florida State job until the Noles hired Mike Norvell. In a recent interview, he was the perfect combo of insistent but vague with no facts, saying with FSU it was interesting. How? In them having no interest in an unqualified candidate? But he's got a unique idea for offense. Get ready. Nobody's ever thought of this.
Oh, my God.
Get the ball into the hands of the playmaker.
What?
What? Kind of like Magic Johnson saying, the Lakers should try and sign the best free agents. Can't make this stuff up. Neon Deion thinks he's a high-level football coach, as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right. Looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour. Well, we've got sports talk. Who saw that one coming? In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Kelly Graves, as the Oregon women now have a share of the conference lead, number 3 of the country. And they're on the road for 7 of the next 9 games, including UConn at Storrs. So hang tight. Back with Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.